Welcome to Pep and Chad with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. This is the podcast where I connect with pals and we sometimes talk about touring, we sometimes talk about music, and we always talk about snacks. Usually at the very end, kind of rushed because I, have to fit in the time and I forget and you know. Today's guest is Kat Haynes. I have to admit to you, dear listener, I really admire Kat. I really admire her work. She does so many amazing things for the community. And I just gotta give you a warning. I am so awkward in this conversation because I think she's so rad. So if you wanna hear someone be really awkward because you're like, you just like really, you know, like love and admire somebody's work so much, you know what I mean? And I'll be honest with you too. My mental health has not been the best right now. I've been struggling. It's January. We're still in this pandemic. And Kat, not only is she just like a wonderful person and just like a super like creative and community minded, wonderful human, she's also very patient, and she was very patient with me in this episode. So she is rad, and she says a lot of really rad things, so please stay tuned. Check out this episode. Don't go anywhere. Today's guest is the wonderful Kat Haynes. Kat, I'm so excited that you are joining me today to have a chat. I don't know if I've said this yet. How rude. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm so excited.
Well, I'm so excited. And I know we've been kind of like talking about talking for a while. So yeah. I'm glad that it's actually happening. And I really appreciate it. And you are actually... the second, it might be at the time we're recording this, this might be like the second last episode of season two of the podcast. And I don't know if there's going to be a third one. So I'm just going to like really just going to live in the moment of these conversations, you know?
How exciting.
I know.
How maybe sad, but how exciting.
Yeah. That's showbiz. How exciting, how sad. No. How are you doing?
I am pretty good. I just got over, today was my first day out of self-isolation from COVID, but I'm feeling mostly better, just like kind of coffee.
I'm so sorry that you went through that. Oh my gosh. But I'm also, okay. I'm so glad that you're doing better.
Yeah. Thank you. It's just like, yeah, it's a bummer. It's a bummer how our government does stuff.
Yeah. 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 I don't even know where to go with that. Like it's just like, it's so, what's the right word? What's the word when somebody is like not doing their job and it's like overwhelmingly bad, so much so that it feels like underwhelming or something? Do you know what I like? It's just like I don't know what word I'm looking for. It's just terrible.
It's really, really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, really, really bad. That's probably, yeah, that's the technical term. But you know what? Our terrible government aside, I'm really looking forward to hearing about your music, your creative mm-hmm. practices. I honestly feel like, I don't know, pal. I just feel like you're one of the most like creative folks I know. Like you are constantly making art. It seems.
Wow, thank you.
From an outsider's perspective. That's what
I think
it looks
part
like.
Of that is like I have kind of like a different relationship to my art in that I don't really consider myself or like necessarily approach my art through like a professional lens necessarily. It's like something I do largely for my mental health. Like keeps me going.
So do you feel like because you that like the way that you approach art, like does that like I just feel like you're I don't want to say the word productive because that's just a word I'm trying not to use right now. I don't know. I just have a weird relationship with productivity.
I don't think it's necessarily about productivity. It's not about like finishing paintings or publishing new songs or drones. And when I do approach my work that way, it often like turns out in ways I don't like it as much. Mm. And there've been a couple times with painting, which is like a new art practice I've gotten into, where I've like accepted commissions from people to like paint a portrait of them for fundraisers. And it just like, it totally changed the mood and the vibe of my painting practice when I was painting those paintings for like knowing that somebody had paid me to do it, which is weird. Like that's not, it's not weird to get paid to make art. That's really awesome. But like, it was weird and different for me. And it like changed the tone of like the purpose of creating a bit.
Mm. I can, I feel like I can really relate to that. And I felt that way with regards to funding before. Like I remember, and I'm very grateful for this, but years ago I did get a grant for, to work on songs. And I've never been that stressed out around songwriting in my life. And I remember I even like emailed the program coordinator at the time and expressed some of that. I was like, because I felt like it was like too good to be true and they were going to want the money back. But because I was like using it to live, like there was no way I could repay that. And I was just so anxious about it. But it was also, yeah, this weird expectation I was putting on myself too. And it totally... like that's the whole purpose of a grant is to not feel all that stress, but I totally right. put that on myself. Yeah, but I don't know. Like it's like when you turn your practice into your livelihood, I feel like, yeah, I get really self-conscious in my head about songwriting, especially, because I've tried with like marketing myself and marketing the record, you know, like one of my goals was like, I really hope people will like my writing, you know? And so if I get positive mm-hmm. feedback about it, I try not to like, to think about it too much. Cause I don't want it to like, I don't know, like inflate my ego to the point where I start writing songs that I don't like. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm trying to right. write from a place of like self, even though it's still like ego driven, but it's still like, but it has to be like from yourself, your space self as well. I don't know. Yeah. Art's wild.
Yeah, art is wild and hard sometimes. And I think we like, yeah, we put a lot of expectations on what we create. And it's cool when you can kind of like create without worrying about that as much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I, as someone who's like, you know, self-managed and I have to like, I you know, I remember when I was first starting to like play music and talking to other artists and they're like, oh, I don't read reviews. I don't want to read articles about myself. And it's like, well, that's nice. Like, it would be nice to not have to. Like, I totally understand that, can relate. But like, as a self-managed artist, like, it's kind of your job to like not only read it, but usually share it and usually thank the person who wrote it, you know, like that's just kind mm-hmm. of like etiquette or whatever. And so, yeah, like that, I've always struggled with like, how do you be confident with your work, but like still humble? And how do you find that, that balance? Cause I just like, I've always been like maybe like superstitious about it. Like if I got too confident, I would stop writing songs. I'm sorry if I'm like going somewhere weird
this is great.
With this, but like I do have self-esteem. I'm okay, but I just like sometimes I wonder. It's like I don't know. Maybe I'm being superstitious, but like does that make sense? Or
I think so. There's like. Like you want to know how people are talking about your music, but you don't want it to like influence the music yeah. or like unduly influence it. It sounds like.
Yeah. 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 And I've been wondering too, like, I've had a really like complicated relationship with my spirituality the last 2 years. I feel like a lot of things that I used to find comfort in, I just have really lost grasp of in the last couple of years. And I think it's because of how I got to where I was with my spirituality prior to the pandemic. And I'm still working through a lot of that stuff. Like lots of themes that influenced my last album are just like, they're not there with this new one. But I'm curious. So I'm curious about with your music and your spirituality, how your spirituality influences your music and maybe vice versa. If you're comfortable sharing with that. Cause I'm also like, I'm curious to hear because I'm like, I'm just fully prepared to be inspired by. Okay, sorry. Now talk about expectation. Talk about pressure. Can you speak? Please speak about
fully your prepared to be inspired by your spirituality.
Well, I need some. I really respect you, and I really love your work, and I love like in all aspects of things that you do in the community and with your music, with your art. And I'm just like, I don't know, sorry. I'm like nerding out hard right now. I'm just being like totally honest with you. So I just, I'm like fully prepared to hear about this. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I can feel dear listener, we're not doing this like with the video option on Zoom, with just the audio, but I am like blushing so hard right now. I have like the nervous sweats. I don't know. I just think, dear listener, I just think Kat's really cool, and I'm just really glad she's on the podcast, okay? So yeah, I have nervous sweats. My turtleneck is getting damp. Anyways, would you like to speak about your spirituality?
My spirituality.
And your music?
Yeah, I'll start with like kind of how my spirituality influences my music. I have a really complicated relationship to like spirituality and witchcraft. And being a witch, and it's partly like tied up into, or it's tied up in like, I came into my trans womanhood through coming into being a witch in a way, and like letting myself explore that and take it up. I have this like really sad story from like when I must have been like 8 or 9. I was in diving classes and I'd be at the pool like almost every day with like my little class of diving people. And one of them was this girl who was like a witch, and she had made a spell to make herself braver in diving. And it was like the thing that I wanted to do most of all. But she told me that I couldn't be a witch because I was a boy. And that was really sad. So like coming into spirituality and into magic and into ritual was a way for me to like come into gender and my identity and my womanhood. That was a really long aside. But I have this really complicated relationship to it because like so much of like what's written about witchcraft, a lot of it is like, I don't know, Western and appropriative. And like I really struggle with like how to develop like non-extractive relationships to spirituality. And I think a big part of it is about like, I don't know, relationality and how we're in relation with like, you know, each other and the land and the goddess, or, you know, whatever. And a lot of that for me is through ritual. And so I really think of like my drones as a form of ritual. There again, like my drones are very like contemplative and meditative in how I create them. It's like almost a mindfulness practice in and of itself, like following the drone and like slowly altering it. And it can like really throw you into like that same kind of headspace that ritual can. And I don't know. I feel you about like, I have been really disconnected from my spirituality through the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I've been working on reconnecting with it, recently, trying to like be more intentional about that and create more space for that. I bought my planner this year that I bought is a moon journal with all of the moon faces in it and little spaces for like new moon rituals and full moon rituals each moon. So I've been thinking about like, I could talk about this forever. I've been thinking a lot about cycles. And like in particular, like moon cycles and like being more attuned with the moon and being more attuned with cycles is something I'm really interested in. And that's also like this cool thing in my drones where like the way I construct my drones is through like really long loops. And so you like slowly build up these layers and textures. And I think about how like the nice thing about thinking about cycles is that like there are cycles beyond the cycle you're in. That's the thing about a cycle is, you know, there will always be like the next cycle as well because it's cyclical. And so like the current one doesn't need to be perfect.
Oh, I love that. And I'm very curious, what is the name of your moon journal, if you don't mind sharing that with me? Because I was thinking about getting a journal too, that would be more like witchcraft oriented or like, but no pressure. You don't have to share the name of it if you don't want to.
It's called the 2022 Moon Wisdom Planner.
Oh. Okay, very cool. I'm writing that down, even though I'm also recording you saying that, but I'm writing it down.
Taking a note.
Very cool. Yeah, no, I appreciate you sharing that. Like, yeah, I really appreciate you sharing that because I have felt, I don't know, some guilt. I kind of thought, well, isn't this like spiritual practice that I thought I was working on for so long? Isn't this like, isn't when things are hard? Isn't that when I'm supposed to like rely on it the most or fall back on it the most? Like, isn't this like when it's supposed to, like, I'm supposed to, I don't know. Did I not do it right? You know, like, was it superficial? Yeah. And now I'm like, well, I've totally fallen apart of it. But to be honest with you, I feel like, because I went to the term witch because my first introduction to it with regards to like, well, besides like mainstream culture, like children's mm-hmm. movies, Halloween and things like that. My introduction to the term witch was that it was gender neutral. So I was like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, well, that's me, because I didn't know what else to call myself, even because I would sometimes, you know, go to different like goddess ceremonies and I was always so uncomfortable at them.
Mm-hmm.
Always so uncomfortable. And I remember like I would kind of be like, well, I don't really like that term, I don't want to call myself a goddess, but witch is cool. You know.
Yeah.
And I felt more comfort there, and that's where I kind of like, yeah, got more into like self-identifying. And also like I had someone come up to me at a show once, and this was years ago, and this person said, do you know you're doing witchcraft on stage? And I was like, what? And they were like, well, you do this and you do this and you do this and you do this and you sing about the moon a lot. And I was like, oh yeah. And like they were talking about different patterns too. So like that for me was like really affirming. But like I mentioned before, like I kind of got into it through this kind of like new agey goddess circle, which is like there's mm-hmm. so much problematic stuff in that world, especially and during the pandemic, so many folks that I've like connected with over the years, or different like even like different platforms I would follow online, like just like seeing like all the ableism in that community, I was like, and this is such a, you know, an able-bodied person's privilege to not notice it until there's a pandemic, right? And like I feel like I need to be way more mindful moving forward of things like that. But I just feel like in the new age community, there's so much ableism, and it's really showing in like the pandemic with regards to like wellness culture. So that's really turned me off too. So I've like kind of, I rejected kind of everything for a bit. And now I'm just trying to get back into like, what is appropriate for me as like a white settler person, and like what is and what's appropriate for me too as a non-binary person, because I don't want to sacrifice my comfort to in order to be in these spaces, you know, like not like mm-hmm. not like I'm gathering with anybody right now anyways, but I don't know, so I'm still trying to figure it out. So I appreciate you sharing that with me today.
Maybe it's like an opportunity to like look at you know, do the Saskatchewan thing and just like create some new spaces and just like do some really chill magic with friends.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. You said do the Saskatchewan thing and make some new spaces. I really love that. Can I hear more of your perspective on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was this idea that came from my parents, however they got it. But this idea that like, and I see this in a bunch of different ways where like Saskatchewan and Regina, maybe like from my experience, that's where I've lived in Saskatchewan the most. Is like always on the brink of cool stuff happening. Not to say that like cool things never happen, but there's like lots and lots and lots of potential, but often it goes like unorganized. But if you can find people to like organize with around things you care about, like Regina is like small enough that like a small, you don't need like 10,000 people to push something, to push an issue. You can sometimes do it with like three or four, and that's like really cool.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I feel that about Saskatchewan, and I feel that way about Moose Jaw too. I don't know if you spent much time at Moose Jaw, but like Moose Jaw has been like, I really love that city, and there's so, I do like, I feel like there's so much potential there. There is so much potential in Moose Jaw, and it's just like that's my goal, to like get back there full time and to just, I don't know, help things happen, help facilitate things, help just like support so many, like there's really great folks there already doing some like really amazing work in Moose Jaw, but I just want to like be more on the ground there and like just, I don't know, help rad things happen, because it's like such a, it's like I feel like Moose Jaw too, and like Regina, I can't really speak to Regina in the same way just because I haven't spent as much time there, and I didn't grow up mm-hmm. around Regina. Like I grew up around Moose Jaw, so it kind of like Moose Jaw is like this like hub for so many rural communities too, and I just see there being so much potential, and right now there's like there aren't a whole lot of music venues, and like COVID aside, it's just like right now you have like a coffee shop that's kind of more of a rental space where you could play, and then also like a couple cafes that will do, like one cafe will do like an open mic, so you know you're talking 30 20 40 people or whatever, or the rental space could be upwards to 100, but then you go all the way to the Mae Wilson Theater, which is 420 people, and like that's a huge,
that's a big leap.
Yeah. And so like where are some more like listening rooms, and also like I don't know, open mics are so important, and I feel like sometimes like we like, I don't know, or maybe I just don't talk to enough people who like believe like in open mics as well, but like they're just like an important part of the scene, because like people need to have spaces where they can try new things, not have that pressure. Like we were talking about at the start of this conversation, when you put that pressure, like you make your art your livelihood, and you like it you put that pressure on yourself, like going to an open mic and just being like, this doesn't really matter or whatever, like it does, it's everything's important and nothing matters, they're two truths, I don't know, yeah. It's somewhere in between, the open mics are somewhere in between that, and you can just go try new things and mess up, and like having that space, especially for youth, so all ages spaces that are like working on being safer spaces for kids, those are super important. And I feel like Musha just really, I don't know, there could be something really cool there. I'm rambling on. I love Musha. I really believe in that city. And now, you know, I rambled so much, we have to take a break.
Okay.
We'll be right back. You are listening to Pep and Chad with Megan Nash, a co-production with Creative City Center. And today's guest is Kat Haynes. And we're back. I was rambling on in the break, which actually is not a mattress commercial, surprisingly, because this is a podcast. But I was starting to ramble on about mental health stuff and and forgetfulness. I feel like maybe it's just like in the circles and like the spaces that I see, like memory and anxiety, I'm not seeing a lot of conversation about that, and it's something that I would love to know more about. I would love to know more about like how anxiety affects the brain and affects your memory, because like I played at the Exchange at the end of November, and I was getting ready to play a song that I was like, that's about like it's like a love, this song's like a love letter for folks that are like just trying to make the world a better place. Like I wrote it with my band in like June, and like at the show there were like so many folks who's like who like, this song is like about you and your work, you know, and like I didn't want to mess it up, and we go to start playing it, and I totally forgot the first, like I forgot the first verse, I couldn't remember it. And actually a friend of mine was like, oh, I thought you were doing a bit on stage. Being like, oh I can't remember. It's like, no, that was like, I was, but I remember that day though, like I was so stressed out, Kat. I was so stressed out because it was like, doing shows during COVID is so stressful, because not only is it just like the regular stress stuff of shows, like are enough people going to come? Am I going to be able to pay everyone what I said I can pay them? Like, obviously I will pay them, but will I lose money? Like, is the set going to go well? Will I, you know, I wasn't even worried about necessarily like remembering all my lyrics, but I, well, whatever, that didn't happen. But like, you know, how many people are going to come? Is that going to be enough to pay the bills, and is that going to be too much? Like, are people not going to be able to distance if they choose? Like, and oh yeah, so I totally forgot my song, but we still did an encore, and then I talked about that a bit on stage, you know, like mental health, just, you know, mental health in the wild isn't as always like palatable as it is like when it's a hashtag or whatever on like a cell phone day or whatever. Sorry, I'm not trying to be so cynical, but you know, you know what I mean?
The, I don't worry that I'll like forget words to my songs, 'cause my drones are all improvised. But I'll like worry that I'll forget how to paint. Like every time I start a new painting, I'll just be like, I don't know if I remember how to do this. Mm. And it's an exploration of a process each time. Mm. But I was going to make a joke about my drones where when I forget how my drone goes, I just like press a key for a really long time. And then that kind of solves the problem.
Oh, very good. Very good. How do you feel about Drone Day? Is that like a space? Is that like a, like, what's your thoughts? What are your thoughts on Drone Day? This is not a pre-prepared question. I just remember, I was just thinking, you know, Drone Day, there's a day for that.
There's a day for drones.
Yeah.
It's cool. I've like been part of some Drone Day festivities before.
Nice.
I like the really, really long drone set that I think Holophone does in the Artesian, or that they have as part of like Cathedral Arts Festival.
Mm. Cool. Mm-hmm. So like when in the first half of the conversation, when you said do the Saskatchewan thing and like make a new space, is there like a dream space that you have like for Regina, whether it be physical or just like in the sense of community too, or is it like already, I don't know. Is that a weird question? Sorry.
I don't know. I would love for there to be like a all ages cafe bar venue.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that would look like. I don't know where it would be like accessible and downtown probably. And it would be free for people to use and play shows at. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like a similar, I think about a similar thing for Moose Jaw. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally, totally. So in 2018, you did the Girlfriend Tour.
The Girlfriend Tour, yeah.
Would you like to, could I join you down memory lane? Sorry, that's so cheesy. Can we take
join me down memory lane? Yes. So it was a tour that I did with my, girlfriend, Jay Kovach, who's, great and wonderful and really helped get me into music and like believe in myself. So it was really cool to, it was like this really significant moment in my progression as an artist where like Jay had really inspired me a lot and encouraged me a lot to like perform. And then I had like gotten to this point where like we were able to do a tour. So it was just like a little mini tour. It was myself as Witchknife and Jay as Firestarter. And we started in Regina, and then we went to like Winnipeg, and then Saskatoon, and then Edmonton and Calgary. And Lethbridge. And we played in like mostly pretty, we played in an assortment of venues with an assortment of stories that were fun. And it was like lots of driving. It was a fun road trip. I drove the like whole way because I love to drive.
Me too. Me too.
Are you the driver in your band?
Well, it depends, because a lot of times, like, we would be, the last few tours I've done, I've been driving, like, we've been driving the Bears and Hazelmore van, and because it's not my van, I get a little nervous about driving it. Like, I remember we were somewhere in the States, and the guys were like, Megan, this is your time to drive. You can drive. And they're, like, cheering me on, like, as I was, like, driving in this, like, city in the States, because, yeah, they were really comfortable with me doing it, but because it wasn't my vehicle, I was hesitant, you know? It's like, you know, I've driven farm equipment before. I've operated machinery before, but like, could I be a farmhand for somebody? I don't know, because I'd be nervous to drive their tractors. I've thought about this a lot, you know? I used to make like decent bales, but like, could I do that for somebody else with their equipment? I'm not sure.
Yeah, we were driving a rental car, I think. And yeah, we just like stayed, I don't know, Jay is just like super connected to musicians across Western Canada, probably Eastern too, I don't know. Anyways, so we just like stayed at pals' houses in every city, which was really great. The probably the most like notable like girlfriend moment from the girlfriend tour was we were like, Jay and I were hanging out after our set, and we were like on a couch and kind of cuddly and like talking or whatever, and then this like guy came up to us and started to try and flirt, and we were just kind of like, we're together.
Did like that person get the hint, or was it
eventually
like,
yeah,
okay. Oh gosh, I miss staying at friends' places. I even miss like weird awkward interactions with people at this point. You know, like,
yeah,
like, can you imagine just like, remember just like going, like calling up a friend and being like, hey, I'm gonna be in town, can I stay at your place? Absolutely. And you just like, I'm gonna be around a bunch of people right before I come to your house, and that's not gonna be an issue, you know?
Yeah
like the biggest issue would be like, do you actually like, I do find sometimes like, you know, friends will be like, yeah, you can stay, and then but there's not actually a place for you. It's just like, you know, like, that used to be the biggest concern. Is there actually a couch? Is there actually a bed? Or is it just, you know, the floor? Which is like,
just,
you know,
the floor?
You can make the floor work, but it's not always the most ideal, especially if you were, like, ill-prepared, like I always was, with regards to, like, sleeping on the floor. Yeah. When you were on that tour, now, I'm asking you... to think about in 2018 what you were snacking on. Do you remember, like, did you have a go-to snack specifically on that tour?
On that tour specifically, I think we ate a lot of beef jerky.
Yes.
Because I remember this one time... we got a bag of like really sweaty beef jerky where the texture was a little bit off. It was like softer.
Do you ever try, just speaking of like sweaty, softer meat, do you ever try like the meat nuggets? Like, were they nuggets or were they still supposed to be jerky?
Maybe they were nuggets. I'm not sure.
I don't know why they'd be sweaty. What, were they good?
They were pretty good, but yeah. I like the
nice,
the like chewy texture of beef jerky.
Yeah,
it's all about texture.
Yeah. Oh, that's very good. Well, please tell Jay I say hi. I love,
okay,
Jay.
I,
we were guitar teachers together at Girls Rock Camp once.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very cool. Oh gosh, Girls Rock Camp. I miss it.
I do too.
Do you want to talk about making art in digital spaces? That is a world I know nothing about, but I would love to hear you talk about your process, because I don't fully, like, I understand the internet. I can use the internet to a certain degree, but there's a lot of parts of the internet that I don't know.
Yeah, there.
Because are you on Twitch when you're doing that?
Like the Minecraft stuff? Yeah, that was on Twitch.
Ah, okay, cool.
And in a past life, I used to make like weird internet connected art gadgets.
Whoa.
So I built like this box where, like, when the International Space Station was flying overhead, it would just like light up and glow.
Oh, I saw that on the on your social media.
Yeah, right?
Did you post it on socials?
This would be like years before I moved to Regina, back to Regina.
Oh, I thought I saw that you post about that one day. Sorry. Maybe. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
So I've made all kinds of like weird digital art, I guess. But I was part of Ender Gallery, which was like an artist residency set in Minecraft. And I thought it was really cool because Minecraft is like a space. It's like a really customizable space once you figure out how to play Minecraft and like mod it. And throughout like that residency, I don't know, like I see digital art as a way still of like building and creating community, around the spaces you're creating or the art you're creating or the conversations you're trying to hold. Like when I think about the work that I did for Ender Gallery, like a lot of it was very conversational. It was like studio visits where we had conversations about like gender theory. Mm. And so I don't know, it's not, I think one of the like, one of the kind of hard things about creating digital art or art in digital spaces is that like you don't have the same degree of like, I hate this, we're back to products and productivity. You don't have like the same degree of like a tangible product to come out of it. Mm. You're just like, you're creating something in a computer.
You know, I have to, like, you know, this question's coming. I have to ask you, what are your thoughts? Are we going to, wait, I'm about to turn this into a podcast about NFTs. I'm so curious what you're, sorry. Kat, I'm sorry. But what are your thoughts on them?
I have no thoughts on them. I don't think I fully understand them. You're like buying a receipt. It's all very strange. Like, man, when I burned out from working in tech, I just like stopped caring about new tech stuff. I just stopped caring about completely.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I actually did listen to a podcast about NFTs today, like kind of like passively. I was doing other things and I still don't know. I'm still confused. I just know that some of the NFTs take a lot of energy, and I, you know, part of me is just like, why are we doing this right now of all things at this time? Yeah. Why this? I just thought, you know, the world needs more podcasts talking about NFTs, you know?
Oh, that is exactly what the world needs.
Yeah. And in fact, this episode will be an NFT. Just kidding. I don't know if it can. Like, I don't understand it. I don't understand. And I honestly, I just feel like it's one of those things that people are really trying to make happen. And I just don't know. And even if it does like really take off and it is a long, big thing for a long, big time, I don't care if I'm not involved and have nothing to do with it. You know, I feel the same way about Bitcoin and stuff. I'm just like, I don't know. I don't care. I don't have to be involved. I'm very happy not knowing, you know?
Yeah, they're like all related in all instances of like hyper-capitalism, I feel
Yeah. And I just like today, you know, if I was listening more closely, I could remember like the facts that they were saying about the energy use of this, like certain NFTs. Like it was a lot. Like it was a lot. And I just thought, like, personally, I'm like, read the room. Like, you know, I don't know. Sorry. That was my little rant about NFTs. Don't need them. That's what I say. So something else I want to talk to you about is, so you mentioned community. You mentioned, like, I know that you are, like, I don't know, would you self-identify as a community weaver of sorts? Like, I know that I've seen that term float around before in the world. It's a term, right? Like, you're very community-minded, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I feel like that really comes out in your art because you're doing portraits in the community. So it's interesting to me to see someone be, like, super inspired by spirituality and also by community. I just think that that's really cool. Do you think that's true or am I lying? Because I don't want this to be a podcast.
Is it true that I think it's cool?
But do you think that's accurate? Like, I just think it's like today I was just like thinking about your art and I was just thinking that it's just like super beautiful. All the work that you do for your like community, for like the queer community in Regina, for like just the community as like a whole, you know, I don't know, you just do like a lot of amazing work for Regina, and Regina is very lucky to have you. And not only are you doing really important work and like truly like sending so much love and respect your way, like making the world a better place, like I have so much respect for everything you do, but you're also like making beautiful art and portraits for everybody, like for a bunch of people who are also rad humans making the world a better place. Like, it's just like, it's a really beautiful thing to witness. Again, I'm in the middle of nowhere just watching from afar on the internet, but I just think it's really beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I think it, well, I just like, I started painting my pals and people I'm in community with because, like, well, one, they were like, it's like easier to get consent from them because I know them. And it's like, I feel like it's weird to paint a portrait of somebody without asking permission. That's just like, that's how I feel. But there's just like, there's a lot of really cool community minded people in Regina. And I think it's one of the things that makes Regina like a pretty okay place to live.
Yeah.
Is like all of these people who are like actively working to try and make it better.
Yeah.
And I've just been like really fortunate to get connected with lots of them.
Well, I just think it's really cool. I'm like yelling compliments at you in this episode. Like, this is what this episode is. It's just my Mercury's in Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
I don't know anything about astrology. I'm so sorry. I have a book about it. I have a book about it, and I can read it and I can understand it. But there's so much to remember. You have to remember what all of the different planets mean. You have to remember what all of the different signs mean. Yeah. Then you have to be able to interpret them. Ugh.
Yeah. It's a lot. And I don't, I've just scratched the surface of it. And I feel like if I was around folks that were like really into it and like just like, I would be super, super into it, but I just don't have the, I don't know, the will to learn more on my own. And also like where to look for things. Cause again, like we said before, like the, like astrology world can be icky too. So it's like, where can we get like cool, good, like queer astrology resources, you know? These are the, these are the questions I have. I don't know. It's these are things I wonder. But I do remember the first time I met you, I was on a computer looking up different signs, and it was like this really, I don't know, fluffy website or something, I think. I just remember being in a computer Googling like what each sign likes or something. And so I was, I'm Scorpio, and it was like something like, I don't know, spirituality and the occult or something like that. And you're Gemini. And I remember your interests were like music and magazines or something. It was like just like very, very light. And but I think like Scorpio was like stereotypically like so like moody and like spooky. You know, we're supposed to be like spooky signs, so it's probably but I just remember that moment. That was years ago, and I remember
you had you have a birthday book, like the big book of birthdays?
Did I have that with me? That's so nerdy. That's so nerdy of me. You know, okay, here's the thing with me, Kat. I have been sitting back and like looking at my life and like really like picking apart a lot of things, like dissecting it and being like, what serves me, what no longer serves me, like a lot in the last 2 years, which is also, I guess, a very Scorpio thing to do. But like there is this part of me that's just like, I gotta just accept that I'm a bit of a, like a nerd with a lot of this stuff. And I should just lean into that more, I guess. I can't believe I had that book, and that's how you met me. I remember too, I had these runners on that somebody else at the house that we were hanging out with was like, nice normcore shoes. So I just rolled up to the hangout with my normcore shoes and my Starbuck. Hi. But I still remember that though. I don't know. Memories. Yeah. Aw. When you're not on tour, what's your favorite snack? Or is like beef jerky like it? That's it. That is like the snack.
Oh, that's a good question. beef jerky the snack?
Yeah, folks, tune in for the hard hitting questions here on the Pep and Chad podcast. Is beef jerky the snack?
I feel like it's a contender, but you need to like mix in some sweet with it. Yes. So maybe like beef jerky and peanut M&Ms. Get some crunch in there.
No, that's perfect. I love peanut M&Ms so much. Oh, I love them so much. I also love beef jerky. Actually, shout out to McSweeney's, who like they're the company that has Pep and Ched. Like we had to get permission to call the podcast Pep and Ched.
Oh, cool.
And they gave permission, and they also sent me some beef jerky. I got so much beef jerky in the mail, Kat, but to be honest with you, I'm like, I'm out. Otherwise I would share. I would like do a social distance drop off of some beef jerky if I had any more. If they ever give me any more, I will let you know. And I will share.
That's really incredible. So you just got a bunch of beef jerky in the mail.
Yeah.
Was there like a big box of it?
Yeah, it was like four big bags of bags. It's probably the most money I've ever made at one time, actually. Like if you like, broke down unit cost. Yeah, it was like so cool. Yeah. Anyways, pal, we're actually at time. I've got to let you go.
Whoa.
Thanks for letting me yell compliments at you for the last almost, I don't know, hour. So, thank you so much for the chat.
Thank you for every compliment you yelled at me.
Okay, take care, pal.
All right, you too.
There you have it, folks, the wonderful Kat Haynes. Please check out her Instagram at Kat_Moondyke. follow her work. And yeah, she's amazing. Kat, if you're listening, thank you so much for being just like such a wonderful guest and being so patient with me as I'm working through some things. You've been listening to Pep and Chat with Megan Nash, a co-production of Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. The Creative City Center is supported by the Canada Council for the Arts, Sask Arts, the City of Regina, Canadian Heritage, and Creative Saskatchewan. This podcast is made possible because of their ongoing support. Wow, we're thanking the folks today. Okay, special thank you to the Garys for the use of their tune Burger Boy that you listen to right now. That's it. The Creative City Center is a community-based arts center that used to present around 200 events a year and gave a lot of emerging artists a home as they were starting out. Now they are home for a lot of online production, so check out creativecitycenter.ca to see what else they're cooking up besides all of this pep and ched with me, Megan Nash. Support live music, folks, no matter what form it's served up in. Thank you. Bye-bye.